Good morning, everyone. Welcome to the second day of the 57th Annual William W. Gibson Jr. Mortgage Lending Institute. We are happy to have you here and welcome everyone online as well. I will be introducing myself, and since you guys were all here yesterday, I won't bother to do that. And I will be speaking with my co-presenter, Dick White, who spoke yesterday for the majority of the time. So you'll hear him a little less today. But today we're going to start by talking about, I can't get it to advance. There we go. It was just a little. Today we're going to start by talking about the case of Town of Anthony v. Lopez. And it's a pretty simple case. It's not really that exciting, but I figured it'd be a nice, easy way to start out. And the case, basically, here are the facts. In 2013, Lopez and the town entered into a lease option contract. The contract required Lopez to deposit $5,000 and pay $1,000 per month in rent for 36 months.
Hey, Nate, are you listening?
Dick, can you hear us? You're online, Dick. Hold on 1 second. Okay. So basically, everything went fine for about 5 years. Lopez paid the amount of money he was supposed to pay every month. And then in 2018, he got behind, and he got behind by about $15,000. And so eventually, the town served Lopez with a notice to vacate and filed a petition for eviction with the Justice Court. The Justice Court ruled for the town. Lopez appealed to the county court, arguing that the Justice Court lacked jurisdiction because the existing purchase option created a title dispute outside the jurisdiction of the Justice Court. And the Court of Appeals agreed that the Justice Court did not have jurisdiction. So for those of you who remember, basically in Texas, Justice Courts have very limited jurisdiction. They only have jurisdiction over possession, immediate possession, and not over title disputes. So because there was an option to purchase that created a title argument, even though it still created a title issue. The next case I'm going to talk about is very briefly. It's a Texas Supreme Court case. It's a 5-4 decision. I always like to cover these things, but to be honest with you, this one is so narrow, and the law has changed since this came out, so it really doesn't have any applicability for the average practitioner. So basically what happened here is the landlord was billing tenants for the water sewer base fee, and they were including in that water sewer base fee charges for police, fire, and EMS. Now, according to the Texas Water Code, charges billed to tenants for water or submeter and allocated utility service may only include bills for water or wastewater. They cannot include other things. So basically the tenant sued. The majority of the Supreme Court agreed with the tenant that the water code only allowed for water and wastewater services to be billed. The next case is actually one of the most important cases that I'll be discussing today, and it's surprising to me. It's a Texas Supreme Court case, and it's a case of first impression on what is an escrow and how an escrow is created and who bears the risk of loss if an escrow goes wrong. And it's surprising to me because, I mean, we just had an entire seminar yesterday on escrows. But there is apparently no regulation. There's no statutes. There is nothing out there governing what an escrow is. So this was the first time the Supreme Court had addressed this, and they had to actually come up with their own definition of what an escrow is. So here are the facts. Fisher agreed to sell his tax accounting consulting business to CTMI. CTMI was owned by two gentlemen named Mark and Jared. The parties ended up in litigation over the PSA, and they ended up settling the litigation in open court. And in that settlement agreement, they created an escrow, and they agreed that CTMI's lawyers would hold the money that was in dispute. Everything was fine. The parties continued to argue over who owned the money, and then eventually went to the Supreme Court. The Supreme Court awarded the money to Fisher, and then they went, and the money was gone. There was no money left in the escrow. This lawyer had stolen the money. So CTMI sued, seeking a declaration that they had fulfilled their obligations under the settlement agreement because they had paid all the required funds into the escrow account.